So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to preach to you on the subject today, barriers that were meant to be broken. John chapter 5, verse 19, I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say hang on. If you don't plan on finding it, say go ahead. John chapter 5, verse 19 reads like this. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Well, I want you just to think about that. For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. And if we are the children of God, then we ought to be able to do in like manner. Amen. Next verse says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your word. Your word is sharp and it is active and alive. God, I pray that it would divide asunder soul and spirit. God, I pray that we would not only hear the words of your book, but also receive into our spirit the message that you have given us today, and let it be a change in our lives in your name. Amen and amen. Thank you, musicians. We live in one of the greatest days of all time. Now, I know that if you look and if you watch the news, we live in some of the worst times, it seems, of all time. Because sin abounds, but God said that when sin abounds, does grace does much more abound. I've come by to tell you that sin has gotten more prevalent, that sin has gotten more live action, sin has got more publicity here in the last few decades, but I've come by to tell you that there is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot cover and make whole. And so I say that today is one of the greatest times of all time to be alive. Because no longer are we on the industrial forefront, but now it is the information age. And greater accomplishments and recognized achievements and new challenges are the quest of today's adventures and today's visionaries. We want to see beyond, and we're looking at breaking barriers. If you, those of you who remember, I was only a wee little lad when we landed on the moon, and when and we were excited about that. But it seemed like that we haven't made or broken too many barriers. But can I tell you that some barriers are not to be broken, but God has given, or there is some barriers that God has given us the ability to be broken. We live in a time when men and women are consumed with breaking the records of their predecessors. Once achieved, humanity is looking to do things faster, quicker, greater, higher, in more mass, and beyond what we consider the norm. I remember reading an article that back in 1968, when they began doing the computer, Congress said that there is no reason why any household would want a computer in their home. And can I tell you that I have more computer technology on my phone than they had when they sent the man to the moon? Here was another one which I enjoyed, is they said that in 1968, the government did a survey. Well, that's a problem right there. And so they did a survey and come up with that the problems that would be in America by the 1985 is that the Americans would not know what to do with all the time that they had because of the computer age. Anybody sitting around wondering what to do? I told some of our pastors the other day, I've been here 25 years, and when I first came, they didn't even have office hours or anything. And I'll be the first to tell you that there were some days or some weeks I sat in the office and the phone never rang. Oh, those were the days. Now the phone rings off the hook. Matter of fact, I was here this morning early. I was here at about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and the phone rang. And I looked at it, and I picked it up and answered the phone. And the lady on the line said, "Who is this?" I said, "This is Pastor Ronnie. Who is this?" She told me your name. She goes, "Well, I didn't expect you to be there." I go, "No, nobody does." But what I'm saying, though, is that the information age has catapulted us into the future. Now, when the Wright brothers broke the barrier of gravity, now I don't remember that time. You got to talk to Popeye about that time period. But when they broke gravity and they faced, it changed the face of the world. But this past in the past generation, Chuck Yeager took flight further and faster and broke the sound barrier. If you remember, to run 5 minute mile was one time to seem the norm of a man. I don't understand that one. The best I can ever do is about a 12 minute mile. So, you know, now I'm doing 17 minute miles. I'm walking very fastly to Dunkin' Donuts. But they could run, that was the norm. But then Glenn Cunningham was born and not only overcame the barrier of being crippled as a child, he staggered the track and field world by breaking the mile barrier less than 4 minutes. Because of that, listen, Chuck and Orville, Wilbur and Glenn have all passed the scene of life. And there is one barrier who lives on and is still breaking barriers today. Those barrier breakers have gone on and have passed on, but there is one barrier breaker whose name is Jesus, who still lives today and is still breaking barriers for you and I. Can you say amen? You see, because of him, there is no limit of possibility, because the Bible tells me, for with God all things are possible. He goes on to say that greater is he that's in me than he that is against me, or than he that stands against me. Matter of fact, he goes even further and says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He goes on to tell me that whatever I put my mind to do, whatever he has called me to do, no matter the detriment, no matter the barriers, I can overcome those barriers because he is with me. Nobody ever came back from the dead. Nobody ever went 3 days in the burial and came back. But Jesus was a barrier breaker. He broke barriers in his birth. Nobody's ever been born of a virgin, but he is a barrier. He is a barrier breaker. And that's what he is here to do for you and I this morning. He who was dead is alive forevermore. Now has the keys, not only to death and hell, but to those that unlock the gates to every barrier that needs to be broken in your life. I want you to just right now begin to think about a barrier that might be in your life. What barrier is standing in your way? What barrier is causing you to look on the other side of the gate? Because Jesus broke barriers. That's what he did. That's what he does. When we look at the possibilities through the power and provision of God, our vision can be expanded and our dreams can be captured. Can I tell you that most of us dream too small? But we go, well, we can't do that. Listen, I'm looking around. Where's Sandra Brown? I greeted you this morning. Where are you at, Sandra? Here's Sandra. Now, Sandra's probably been here longer than anybody else in this building to right now. She's been at this church concurrent. She's been here the whole time. Right, I hadn't been able to run her off yet. Don't want to. She was our secretary. She was our church clerk when I got here. And then we wore her out, and then she retired. But she still comes, and so she's been here long enough. But I remember, and you might remember, when we first began to think about building a building because we were outgrowing the other, we said, and here's what my mind, well, we're going to build a building to seat 300. Thank God that something got a hold of us, me, and began to dream a little bit bigger. When we moved into the building, we was only running about 250. Now we run 6,700 on any Sunday morning when we combine the both services. But I've come by to tell you that in my mind, I couldn't comprehend that. But when God gets a hold of what you are thinking and what God has called you to do, you've got to think bigger and better. You're thinking, well, all I want to do is just have a good marriage. That ain't what God called you to have. God called you to have an excellent marriage. God called you to have an overcomer, super duper whopper whooper. Marriage, that's what he's called you to do. He's called you to live and to laugh and to love and to have the life. He said, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Pastor, how do you do that? The Bible goes on to say in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you will renew your mind and quit thinking like the world thinks and quit acting like the world acts and begin to do what God's called you to do, then there is nothing that you cannot do, because with God all things are possible. By definition, a barrier is something that divides, that separates, that comes in between. That's what the devil wants to do to you. That's what the world wants to do to you. But what God wants you to do is to break that barrier, kick that gate down by the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, point number two is this, that Jesus broke the barrier of dispensation. What do you mean? He broke the wrong time. In Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, I'll be gone by the time you get there. Write it down. There was a Syrophoenician woman pleading for her daughter's pitiful condition. She came to Jesus, and this story has always bothered me a little bit, to be honest with you. But she came to the master, and she was asking God or Jesus to touch her and make this child whole. But Jesus ignored her. Well, that's not right, Pastor. Well, that's what I thought too. That's not good. No, it's not. I'm pretty sure that we wouldn't have a church if every time you came to talk to me, I just ignored you. Every time that you brought a need, I would just ignore you. Come on, somebody. Let's just be real. Matter of fact, you wouldn't have a friend. You wouldn't have a marriage if you came up every time you wanted to talk about something, your spouse just turned away and ignored you. That's some of your problems right now. There'll be marriage counseling a little bit later. But let me go on a bit further. But then clarified, his mission was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he appeals to practicality. Here's what he said to her. For it is not meet, or it is not the right thing to do, to give the children's bread unto a mongrel dog. Man, I'm going to tell you right now. I know a lot of women. If you called them a mongrel dog, they're going to drop you in a gator hole somewhere. I can promise you my wife will. But instead of, and here's what I want to get. See, the problem is the culture of today has caused us to live in a spirit of offense. It has caused us to live with our feelings on our shoulders. It has caused us that just because if you don't agree with me must mean you hate me. That's where we live. But here's what Jesus was saying. He said, listen, I'm not here for you. It is not good. It is not the right thing to give the children's bread unto a mongrel dog. But he left the door open. The barrier was almost broken. He left the door open because let me tell you what happened. Then her faith stepped through the doors. Her faith stepped through the doors of that barrier and turned the tables on rejection. See, most of us, when we were rejected, we would have just walked away. But not this woman, because she knew where her help came from. She knew that the only one who could help her was named Jesus. It might be the one. He wasn't, my God, somebody hear me. He wasn't telling her something she wanted to hear. He just called her a mongrel dog. He said, I'm not going to give you anything. But she turned the tables on rejection and she said, I might be a dog, but even the house dog gets the scraps from the master's table. My God, somebody hear me. If we'll get to a place in our life that I'm going to overcome the barrier of the wrong time, I'm not going to be offended and I'm not going to be rejected. I'm not going to let that have its way in my life. But I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand in the face and say, God, whatever it takes, I don't matter. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. I just want you to do it through me. We've got to come to this place in our life that even the dogs, the house pets, gets the crumbs from the master's table. I've come by to tell you that when he died on that cross, you're not a dog anymore. You're not a dog that just eats the crumbs from the master's table, but you get to sit at the right hand of the Father. He broke the barrier of the wrong time, the barrier of dispensation. But then point number three is this. He broke the barrier of fellowship, the wrong relation. In John chapter 4, there was a Samaritan woman. Many of you remember. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. It wasn't the fact that he had to go through there on his way. He had a mission. He had something that he had to do. He turned aside to go just to where this woman was. I want somebody to hear me. Jesus is in this place, turned aside to meet you where you are. Not where you ought to be, not where you should be, not where everybody thinks you are, but to where you are. He came to see a Samaritan woman. He said, the Bible said that the Samaritan woman came at Jacob's well and she had come to draw from waters for which she would thirst again. But she was rejected by the Jews. She was rejected by her own kind. She came at that hour of the time because no other woman would be there, because she was an outcast of the outcast. Now that might not get you excited, but it does me. I know what it is to be an outcast of the outcast. I know what it is to be ignored by the outcast. I know what it is to not be in the end when in the in crowd. I know what it is not to be accepted. I know what it is to be rejected. But here's what I know, that if God went out of his way just to get to this Samaritan woman, he'll come out of his way and come out of your way to get to you no matter where you might be. My Lord Jesus, I got to hurry. This woman, she was a Samaritan. And Samaritans did not associate with Jews. The relationship that she thought that would bring her happiness was dissipated by the changing winds of time. The Bible said, Jesus said, where is your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you said well. She said, because you've been married 5 times. And now you're shacking up with the man whom no vow has been planned. No vow has been given. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. That if they don't love you enough to get a license and sign on the dotted line, then why in the world would you give them your everything? I don't understand that. Listen to me. You ain't got to look at Facebook long. I started to comment today on somebody's Facebook, but I think the Holy Spirit just said, no, don't, just leave it alone. Because it just come all over me. Oh, this person's my world. My Lord, they had 9 worlds in 6 months. They building a solar system. Come on, somebody. Huh. Ooh, you are my world. It must have been a little world. Something must have burned up that world. Something must have froze over that world. Because you're done on to another world. You're in a whole other world. You're in another solar system. They built one solar system working on their second one. But here's what this woman was at. She was shacked up with this man. But she thought, why should I have failed so many times in marriage, why should I give myself to this person? Why should I give myself to this person and get married again? It's just going to turn out like the all the others. No, thank you. Commitment is just not for me. Boy, we could talk about right there. Well, Pastor, you know, last time they said that marriage was grand, but a divorce cost me $100,000. But the reality is, you can't let somebody else's experience dictate your own. And maybe you've been looking for love and all the bone babies. Whooping but dove. Maybe you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. See, listen, he not only broke this barrier of where she was. He didn't just break the wrong relation. He broke the racial barriers. He broke the racial barriers. You know, here, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again, that if you are a racist and you are blessed enough, I don't know how you're going to get there, but if you get to heaven, and let me just go on record that white people aren't the only racists. But if you get to heaven, if you white and you're a racist, when you see Jesus, he's going to have a big afro with a pig sticking in it. And if you a black racist, when you get to heaven, Jesus going to look like Jethro Bodine, white boy. If you yellow, black, or white, don't matter. I don't know. But here's what I do know, that Jesus came to break the barrier of racial tension and sin. When nobody else would speak to the Samaritan, Jesus just walked straight up to her. And she said to him, "Why are you talking to me?" He said, "Girl, that ain't even an issue. That ain't even an issue. Let's talk about the real situation, which was her sin," right? All right, but let's go to point number four is this. Let's talk about the barrier of sin, that Jesus broke the barrier of sin, the wrong condition. The wrong condition. Mary of Luke chapter 7 verse 36. When she came and broke the alabaster box on Jesus' feet. When he was sitting at the Pharisee's house called Simon. When he came there in verse 36. The Bible, or some scholars, not the Bible, but some scholars believe that she was a prostitute. Either Simon's daughter or some kind of kin to him. Because when he saw her, he said, if this was a prophet, if he knew who was touching him, he wouldn't allow her. I've come by to tell you, I don't care what kind of gross sin you've done. I don't care where you've been, how long you've been away, how much you don't think that God can cleanse you and make you whole. I don't care where you've been, but the blood of Jesus Christ, it covers any sin. If you will ask him and truly believe and receive in your life, then whatever that sin might be, it will be forgiven. The Bible says, and let me hit this real quickly. The Bible said there's only one sin that is unforgivable, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, what is that? Well, let me just say this. If you're worried about it, you didn't do it. If you're thinking about it, if you're worried that you did it, you probably didn't do it. Because the Bible says once you do that, you're turned over to a reprobate mind. So if you've done it, you ain't worried about it. So let me just go ahead and tell you that this woman, here she was in the wrong situation. She washes the Lord's feet with repentant tears, breaks her treasured box of oil, and lets the fragrance of her adoration and the fragrance of her repentance fill the room. My God, when was the last time that you saw Jesus or you saw somebody worship the Lord in such a way that it changed the atmosphere of the room? Pastor Josh led us in, "The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here." See, can I tell you, you don't have to wait for the atmosphere to change. You're not a thermometer. You should be a thermostat that you set the atmosphere. Now listen, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Well, maybe not every boy and girl, but every man and woman knows that you can change the atmosphere by stepping into the room. You come in mean mugging. You come in with mean and upset. Hey, listen, when my wife is upset, everybody just don't make eye contact. Just, hey, I should have. Oh, here's mama. Come on. Right? And you know you can do it. You can do it in the office. You can do it on the workplace. Wherever you go, you have the ability to set the atmosphere. You ever just like, I like being around you. You're so much fun. Because why? They set the atmosphere. You have the ability to set the atmosphere for the powers of heaven. You have the ability to set the atmosphere. How? You just turn the thermostat up by lifting up your hands and lifting up your worship and lifting up your praise unto God. And it begins to change the atmosphere. But here's this woman. Have you ever been in one of those awkward situations? This was one of them. The Pharisee sitting there, they were eating. Hey, how are you doing? Yes. Very good. Maybe you passed the grape upon. And then this prostitute comes in, comes around, and kneels. Now, according to history, according to the way things were done, that they were probably in an open courtyard, and this woman came from behind Jesus because his feet was folded behind him, and so came behind him, and she began to weep and anoint his feet with her tears. And the Pharisee, like, oh, my Lord, what do we do? I can't believe the guards let her through. Aren't you glad that nobody is stopping you from getting to God? Nobody. I can't stop you. Nobody can stop you from getting to God. Ah, sheta robosa. Nobody can stop you from getting to where he is. You just got to come into the room. So she washes him, and Jesus can no longer stand it because he's moved by her brokenness. He's moved by the blind criticism of the crowd. And says to her, thy sins be forgiven thee. See, that's where we mess up. The Bible says in Psalms, the broken and contrite spirit, God would nowise cast aside. When you come to Jesus broken, you ain't ever got to worry about getting to him because he lets you in. That's the reason. This reason right here. You know, I've told this story before, but when we first came here 25 years ago and our church started growing, and Sister Brown knows this story better than anybody. I've told it so many times. But there were preachers in our own organization would come to me and say, well, we know why you're growing. I said, oh, I'm a little 27-year-old guy. Like, well, tell me, because I don't know why. Oh, because you let anybody come. I go, what? That's why you're growing. You let anybody come. I said, I thought that's what we were supposed to do. And then, well, you know, you got sinners that are coming to church. I hope so. Listen, that's why I tell our church people, when you come to church, lock your car door. Sinners come to church. If you get up and come to the altar and you got a lot of money in your purse, tell somebody, watch my purse, baby. Watch my purse. Y'all think I'm kidding? Why? Because there are sinners in the church. Well, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to preach the word of God and let the blood of Jesus convict and save and make whole and make those sinners into the saints of God. I've got news for you. Hey, I got news for you. Everybody in this building was a sinner at one time. Everybody, including myself, I was the chief of sinners. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am saved by the blood of Jesus. Hey. Now I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I just want people to understand. How many in this house have been to jail? Pastor, you been? I've been to visit. All right, but how many really been? You know what I'm talking about. Look around. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many former addicts are in the room? Come on, look. How many former alcoholics are in the room? Yeah. How many adulterers? Don't raise your hand right there. Don't do that. But I know that they're in the room. But here's what I know. The same blood that caused an addict to come to Christ. The same blood of Jesus that caused a drunk to get saved. The same blood that called an adulterer to get saved. Is the same God that can save your pea-picking heart. Well, Pastor, I were none of those things. You were still unsaved. Because God didn't have any grandchildren. You wasn't grafted in just because your mom and daddy was. At some point in time, you had to bow a head or bow a knee and come under the blessing of the Lord and come under the blood of Jesus in order for you to be saved. He is moved. See, let me just say this. Jesus is big enough to handle your sin. He's big enough to handle your sin. Number five is this. He broke the barrier of sickness. He broke the barrier of sickness. Now, I don't have time to preach a whole thing because it's 9:41. I got to be done here in a minute. I don't have time to preach this whole thing, but I promise you I'm going to put a sermon together and bring it back later on. Not next week, not even the week after, just when the Lord's been dealing with me on this. Why the barrier of sickness? Pastor, why do some get healed and some don't? Well, let me give you the short version. Y'all ready? I don't know. Let me give you another version. I'm not Jesus. Well, Pastor, what do you do? Because I've had this happen. What do you do if you pray for somebody and they die? You say next and pray for the next one. Well, I'm not sure I want you to pray for me. Then don't call me. No sweat off me. Because I had to come to this understanding that I am not the healer. I am not God. I am not Jesus. I can be an instrument of His. And sometimes, well, listen, and somebody will tell you, well, Scott, you didn't have enough faith. Shut up! Sometimes it's just a sickness unto death. Sometimes it's your time. Come on, somebody. So I'm going to deal with that a little bit later. I'm going to come back with a little sermon. For a little sermonette. For Christianettes. Who used to smoke cigarettes. How about this one? He overcame the barrier of sickness. In Mark chapter 10. We all know the story. The blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was sick. But he heard that Jesus was coming. And when he heard that Jesus was coming, he cried out to him. We don't know how he became blind, but something happened to cause him to lose his sight, almost all theologians believe. Because he said that I could receive my sight again, meaning that he could see, but something happened. My God. Come back, help me close, because if I don't, I'm going to preach right here. We don't know how he became blind, but something happened. What happened in your life that caused you to become blind? Well, Pastor, it was that time when I was treated ugly by that preacher. Well, I could say it was that time I was treated ugly by that person that goes to church, the parishioner. If I quit every time somebody said something negative about me, I'd always be a perpetual quitter. What caused you? Well, help me, Holy Spirit. Where was God when I was abused? Okay. I'll tell you where he was. He was there. Why did it have to happen? I don't know. But he was there. And he can heal you from it. So you can live the rest of your life being blinded by the event, being blinded by what happened, and let that person continue to have power over you, or you declare, Jesus' grace and his mercy is greater than what happened to me. And I'm not going to let them rule over me any longer. I'm going to let Jesus rule over me. And he's going to kick that barrier of sickness over my life. What happened to you that caused you to become blind to the truth? I was talking with Popeye and Gypsy just a little earlier. And Popeye made a statement. This one I can repeat. Some of them I can't repeat. But this one I can. If you don't know who Popeye is, he's a 78-year-old biker over here. 79-year-old biker. That's right. Looks good for 79. Well, okay, he looks good for 89. But anyway. But he said, you know, Pastor, I've been telling everybody in all my recovery areas that this church is really, you preach stuff that makes people recover. And I said to him, he's exactly right. Because the church ought to be telling you that you can get back to the original purpose that God purposed you for. Because life happened. Life happened. A wrong relationship. A wrong turn on life's road. Well, I didn't do anything. It happened to me. Whatever it was, Jesus said, I am the recovery. I am the barrier breaker to your sickness, to your sin, to whatever it is that is holding you back. So my question to you today, would you stand? Spirit Life Team, come now. My question to you today is, what is causing you for the sickness, for the blindness? What is it that's causing you not to be able to see clearly what God wants you to see? There is a sickness in this world, and the only cure is Jesus. That's the only cure. This is a sickness. Can I tell you this? That the church must either be in or become in or continue to be barrier breakers. Here's what he said, and I'm done. Jesus said this in John 14:14, believe in me, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to be with my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, it shall be done. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I promise you I will not embarrass you. But if you don't know Jesus, what do you mean by that, preacher? You've never asked Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. I want to give you that opportunity. And I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. If that's you, lift up your hand right now. You can put it right back down. Anybody in this room?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.